welcome to the Double L Show on Kayak Fishing Radio. Chat room still refreshing and coming in. Welcome, everyone. If you haven't been paying attention, I am back down in Florida, and Chris is home monitoring the home base in Virginia Beach. So we're back to the remote location show. But, hope everybody's doing good tonight, sitting here looking out the window in St. Augustine, and it's blowing pretty heavy out here. How's the weather up there at home, Chris?
Balmy.
It's balmy?
It's balmy. 85 degrees today, and it's looking to be rising the next couple of days. Balmy.
Wow. Any rain in the forecast?
Negative.
All right. Yeah, it's pretty hot down here, but it's, like I said, it's really blowing. So anybody going out in the ocean is going to get beat around, it looks like, out here. So very cool.
Oh, yeah, it's windy here, too.
Is it? Yeah, it was windy when I left. Jeez. All right, well, hopefully it'll clear up by the weekend for everybody who wants to get out. So, all right, well, let's see what else we got going on. Who's in the chat room? Anybody we got a... Anybody on the phone?
They're already trying to make bets. So what's the over-under on Chris getting red carded again tonight? It is not going to happen today at all.
No. I forgot all about last week's show. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they apparently didn't. They didn't forget.
Yeah.
That one time. One time I say a word. And it wasn't even a real bad one. It was just a mediocre bad one.
Yeah.
Jeez, if I know everybody's going to act like that, next time I make sure I drop a really good one.
I was going to say, maybe we'll have to just put that into the show notes before the show, that stay tuned and see what kind of bombs Chris drops this week on the show. Well, that's pretty good.
I went to confession just for hearing the word. Wow.
Steve. Yeah, we swear all the time too, Steve, but we're supposed to keep it PG, they ask us here. So apparently you weren't around last week when Chris slipped up. But
no, I don't think Steve was here. He missed it.
Yeah. And again, sorry for anybody who's downloading on the podcast. We're talking to the people in the chat room, but I always feel bad for people who don't understand what's going on in the chat room because they've downloaded it on a podcast or listening live or something without the computer in front of them. But we're all rehashing last week's show where Chris happened to use a not so vulgar but a bad word, and Chris being the moderator of the show, it was just par for the course for everybody to jump on her and give her a hard time about it. So, and your two toms weren't even there when it happened either, so that made it even better.
Yeah, thank God for small favors.
Well, anyway, well, hopefully everybody listening, obviously if you're in the chat room, you can log in with Kayak Fishing Radio and you can be a part of the chat to keep up with everybody going in the chat room there. By all means, anyone, feel free to call in. If you've got anything to add or just want to tell us a fishing story, you got an upcoming event or anything, the number is 714-816-4727. So give us a call. Glad to hear from you. We've got a topic tonight on safety. Am I still here? Chris, can you hear me? Did you silence yourself? I think so. Anyway, yeah, so we're going to talk about safety later on tonight, so if you guys want to tune in and put anything in on that topic, we'd be glad to hear from you. Thanks, Bassman. I don't know, sometimes I get, like, totally dead on my phone. I can't tell if I'm still going or not. All right, so what we got coming up? We got some local events coming up in our area. The 30th of this month will be the TKA family event, and that's going to be in, I guess that's Pocosin. No, it's not really Pocosin. That's still Hampton at Wallace's Marina. Wallace's, right?
Yes, it is at Wallace's, and it's also in conjunction with the Howe event.
That's right, yeah. So come on out and join us on the 30th TKA event. You can get more information on tka.org. And while we're talking about TKA, we want you to make sure you mark your calendars for the annual charity tournament that's coming up on September 29th. That's the day of fishing. 28th will be the captain's meeting. If you've never participated in that tournament, it's always a good time. A lot of great food, raffles, and, of course, fishing. So come on out, join us. You got a long week of vacation that you're just itching to burn. You can stick around after that because the following weekend, also in Virginia Beach, and I know you guys hear us talk about it all the time, but we want to make sure everybody knows and hopefully can come and join us. We have
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
How good was that? I hit the button before you said it.
You hit the button before I even said it, but I was about to. Wow.
I'm reading your mind.
I got to go all the way to Florida for you to do that? Jeez. Well, yes, the boondoggle. If you guys aren't familiar with it, it's just an event to get together and fish. There's no entry fee. There's no tournament. There's nothing but a weekend full of kayak fishing in the Virginia Beach area this time. So we have freshwater, saltwater, Chesapeake Bay, inshore. I mean, we'll definitely have a lot of fish to be caught at that time of year. And I want to thank real quick, I'm going to skip right over it. That voice you heard was one of our listeners tonight, Steve Chapman. If you guys aren't familiar with Steve Chapman, go to Fishing Florida Radio. Give those guys a listen sometime. I download their podcast every week while I'm at work just to have something entertaining to listen to. They do a three-hour show, and it always keeps me going. I get a lot of stares at work because I'll just start laughing out loud with my iPod on. Everybody looks at me like I'm crazy, but check out Fishing Florida Radio. You can listen to them live on Saturday mornings or, like I said, download the podcast. That's what I always do. Hopefully everybody's fishing on Saturday morning so you don't have time to listen to the radio, but definitely give those guys at Fishing Florida Radio a check out. They're a good show going on down there. Anyway, so yeah, the boondoggle, getting back to that. So if you need any information, Chris is putting up links on the chat room.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There you go. So get your information. If you got any questions or anything we can help you with, feel free to contact either Chris or I, helping you make accommodations for a place to stay or what type of gear to bring, whatever you might need. Don't hesitate to get in touch with us because we want you to have a good time up here. Well, I say up here, up there at home. So check out those links. For those listening, you can get the information from yakangler.com/boondoggle or kayakfishingradio/boondoggle. So, and we also have a little separate section set up in tka.org.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
I didn't say it that time.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, did I? Okay.
We'll take a vote here in a second.
All right. Well, everybody likes it, so that's fine. All right. I don't think I have anything else upcoming in our area, if it is, that I'm not aware of. We will move along to fishing reports.
Actually, if you really wanted to, you could mention the Argus event for any of the TKA members, anybody that's interested, due to the fact it's open only to the first 20 who want to do it.
Okay, what is that event?
The Catching for Kids, Captains.
Well, they have to be a member of TKA, though, at the time. So
I just said that.
Okay, well.
If we have any listeners that are TKA members that are interested in fishing the Catching for Kids tournament, we're the only kayak anglers club that's invited to participate in this. However, only the first 20 people can fish this event. And I believe it's what, $10, $15 per person?
I think it's a little more than that, but more than 25.
Yeah,
I think it's 25. Yeah, 20.
But either
25.
Get a hold of us or William Regaluski.
Yeah. It's a real good event, a lot of fun. All the money goes to getting toys. It's basically a spinoff of the Toys for Tots, I guess you could say. So all the money raises is used for getting toys for the kids. But the really cool thing, and something I'm pretty proud of, is being one of the original members of TK, is we've been fishing that event for years, and we compete. Basically what you're doing is you're competing against all the local fishing clubs. They come as far as Richmond. Anyway, it's been as high as 10 clubs, and everybody else fishes out of a motorized boat. And TKA has always came in somewhere in the top six in that event. So everybody jokes those little plastic boats when we first started doing this. But we fish against people in power boats, and like I said, we've always came in the middle. Last year, I think we came in third. Didn't we come in third place? Third or fourth place?
Fourth place.
Fourth place, so.
But still, regardless,
yeah, well,
darn impressive.
It's very impressive. That's what I was saying. Everybody in a boat, if they make a decision to go here and they're not catching fish, they can turn the motor on, put the screws to it, and go somewhere else. Well, kayakers, you all know, we pretty much make a commitment to fish somewhere, and we definitely have to stay right there when we fish. We can't paddle another 20 miles to go fish again, so.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good event.
We never ended up going away in empty-handed. We always managed to put something up. I personally fished it the last 2 years, and I believe I will be fishing it again this year.
Yeah.
As the only woman from a kayak. Although, Jay, I know you're listening. I think you and your wife are members, TKA. It would be awesome to have Allie on board. Just saying. Give you something to think about. Of course, if you don't tell her about this event, Jay, I know you're listening. I can always send her a private message on Facebook.
Jay's probably letting her know right now before you get to
it. He can't say anything. I ask him. He's on the line. He's listening in. But I ask him. He didn't want to say anything. So.
Got anybody else on the line? I haven't even looked at the switchboard.
Yes,
Rob
is with us.
Let's say hi to Rob before we get to fishing reports. Let's see what's going on with Rob.
Got Rob live.
Hey,
Rob. What's going on?
How are you? Just listening.
Cool. Everything going all right in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, so far, man. Weekend's not here yet, but working on it.
Fantastic. Did you get out last weekend?
Yeah. Wind was an issue, but got into some jacks on top water. And a couple of ladyfish with some lure testing. Yeah, that's what it is. And
lure testing?
Yeah, the new Blair Wiggins mirror beans.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
It made for a funny video because caught a ladyfish with that. And my buddy was just telling me, man, these Trocar hooks are dull. And as I'm, like, taking the pliers and trying to get the hooks out of my glove, you know, with the ladyfish attached to it, it was pretty funny.
Did you have the video up yet?
No. It'll probably be up end of the month first of the month around.
I was going to say, put the link up for us tonight on the show so we could check it out. Well, cool. Yeah, it's windy over here on the other side of the state where I'm at today, too, so. Not that I came down here to fish again, so this time I came down just to work for the next 2 weeks and get this thing done and get back home for good. So,
cool.
Well, very cool. Anything else good going on over there in the
Not really,
West Coast?
Man. Just same old. Just trying to get through the weekend or weeks and get to the weekend.
Yeah, I hear you.
Get out
there. Is it tarpon bite still crazy over there? I know it was really off, just going crazy.
Yeah, so far. I know I'm going to be doing some of that at the end of the month, and I'm, like, really looking forward to it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Got some pretty cool tarpon spots around here.
Right.
So we'll see.
Well, very cool. Well, good luck with that. Maybe we'll get a good video from you on that, too.
I hope so, man. That's, like,
yeah, cool.
That's what I dream about video in.
Tarpon?
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. You ought to get together, because you're over on the Tampa side, right?
Yeah.
How far from Tampa? Are you in Tampa area exactly?
No, I'm in Clearwater, just north of St. Pete, just west of Tampa.
Okay, I got you. I know Dave. I don't see Dave in the chat room tonight, but Gator Dave, he's from, I think, a little further south, down around the Sarasota area. But he's been telling me all about the tarpon fishing and all they've been doing down there.
Nice fishing down there, too, man.
Yeah, I got the chance when I was here last winter. I got to fish. Well, actually, I fished your neck of the woods, too. I fished with, Neil Taylor. He was a guest on on Chip's show. I think it was last week or the week before. Fished over there with Neil, and then we went down and fished with Steve Gibson in Sarasota. So,
yeah. Nice area, man.
I was really impressed with Sarasota. I didn't know what it was like there. That's the first time I've ever been. That was really cool.
Yeah, this time of year, like around Siesta Key and stuff, those are some really nice, you know, snook on the beach places around Anna Maria and stuff like that. You know, you leave the kayak at home and that stuff, but you know, they get piled up on the beach and it's a lot of fun to get out there after them. Every time I go out snook, you know, for snook on the beach though, it's blowing like 30 miles an hour and there's, you know, 5 foot waves coming in.
Yeah, Steve was telling me they catch them on the fly right off the. I mean, they just run up and down the beach and catch them in the surf line, I guess, with their fly rods and stuff down there in Sarasota.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. You might know the area. Anybody listening, sorry, I'm rambling on, but it was kind of cool. I pulled in the morning. It was kind of gray light still, and I saw this big, huge house. So we launched, and we got out in the bay there, and we're fishing. And I was like, man, that house is huge. Who owns that? And I guess it was the Ringling Brothers mansion. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Their winter home was in Sarasota. That was always
right next to it.
They always start their big tours like right here in Florida. You know, usually they'll hit Tampa as one of their first stops.
Right. Yeah, that thing was huge. But anyway, I just thought it was funny. I thought it was somebody's, you know, residence.
Yeah.
I guess now it's a museum or whatever the case may be. So, but it was pretty cool. The thing's huge. All right, well, cool. All right, let's keep this thing moving. Stick around, Rob. Maybe you can chime in on some safety tactics and stuff with us, and
I'll be here
on tonight's topic.
So no background.
All right, cool. All right, so let's get to some area fishing reports. Pretty much summertime pattern in Virginia Beach now. You're fishing in the tidewater area. The big number a lot of people have been looking for is cobia. Cobia are really getting better. So I've been getting a lot of pings in here and people talking about the cobia lately. Flounder have gotten a lot better. Cape Henry, Chesapeake Bay Ridge Tunnel, Ocean View Reef, Back River Reef, some good numbers. I've seen some flounder coming in over 8 pounds at the Bay Bridge Tunnel, so that'll kind of tie hand-in-hand with our safety topic here later, but and along with these critters here, the spadefish and sheep's head too, they're starting to really pile in good. So if you guys are in our neck of the woods, Virginia Beach, that is, those are the big ones that are out there now. Spot. I've heard a lot of good reports now. The spot are starting to show up, which you might not be a spot angler or target the spot, but spot means one thing, and that means food for the bigger fish. So if the spot are starting to show up, that's a real good sign of what you should be starting to think about when you're fishing for the flounder around the Bay Bridge Tunnel and the drop-offs and the channels is the spot size bait, summer spot size bait, if that makes sense to everybody who's listening. Again, our neck of the woods. So, yeah, Tom says tasty spot. Funny story. I used to, when I still had a boat, I had an old friend who loved spot, loved to eat the spot, and I used to take him out in the fall for the big yellow bellies, and I'd have my live well going the whole time. And I'd catch those hand-sized spot, and I'd throw them in the live well, and something a little bigger or whatever. He got all upset. He's like, why do you keep putting them in the live well? Just put them on ice. They're easier to clean. I was like, because I'm not cleaning them. I'm going back out tomorrow without you, and we're going flounder fishing and striper fishing. So he got all upset because he's like, you can't do that. Those are good eating. I said, that's what the spot and flounder think. So that's what I'm doing with them tomorrow. I don't eat the spot, but I like to feed them to other critters down there in the water and see if I can get something bigger. So that was my point with the spot anyway, is that so if the spot are showing up, that's a good bait to be having, or even if you're using artificial, something that, great bait, that's right. You can have something that's rigged up that's mimicking that spot size bait for you for the flounder out there. So keep that in mind. And while I'm on it, Tom, and I see you're in there, the croaker, I've been hearing really good, better and better on the croaker. So get your stuff together, Tommy V, James River, Elizabeth River, Ocean View, pier fishermen doing better and better with the croaker. Now, those are fish I will eat when they get big size, but silver drum. So, yeah, so the croaker bite's getting better. Still trout running around. A lot of trout are in places that we're not going to talk about tonight, but there's definitely some good specks still out there and around. That's something I can mention in a minute. I just thought about. Anyway, so that's pretty much all I have locally for the fishing report in the Tidewater area. I didn't get my usual emails from my North Carolina gang tonight, so I don't really have anything to share with you guys from North Carolina on either fresh or salt side. So we'll keep on moving. And what I was just had a brain fart on was the fact that Chris and I went to the Falmouth Fly Fishing Club on, when did we go, Chris? Are you still on mute? Are you listening to me? I think it was last Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday night. So we went to the Falmouth Fly Fishing Club. Great bunch of people up there. If anybody's in the Fredericksburg area and likes to fly fish, I strongly suggest you go check out that group there. It was a really cool time. They took Chris and I to dinner. And then we went over to the Gander Mountain and hung out there for a little bit before I had to do my seminar. And they had their usual club meeting beforehand. And they were definitely not that picturesque fly fishing hoity-toity group that everybody kind of plugs on fly fishermen at sometimes, because they were a cool bunch of people. I don't know about Chris if she's listening or she's got me, she's muted, but
I'm here.
They definitely, no, it was a good bunch of people up there, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, great time, very very nice people.
We felt like we'd been members of the club or been there before. I mean, everybody was very warm and receptive. They joked around. They joked with each other pretty hard.
Pretty hard.
They do. They bust chops, man. It was pretty funny to have a fishing club, and like I said, a fly fishing club. Not that I'm stereotyping, but everybody gets that little uppity. What was the thing Lefty Cray told us that time, Chris, that he asked a buddy of his that, why he didn't fly fish. He said, because the clothes are just too expensive.
It's too expensive.
So, yeah, so.
No, they're really, really nice bunch of people. I can't say otherwise. Initially, I was holding my breath a little bit. I thought the tomatoes are going to come out and fly, but very,
yeah.
Very nice. I can't say otherwise. Had a great time. It was a long night, but it was really well worth. Met new people and very cool.
Yeah, we had a great time. It was about a 3-hour, 2.5-hour drive one way from our house to get off work, drive up, do our thing, and drive back down and have to go to work the following morning. But it was worth it. I had a good time. We enjoyed ourselves. So anyway, the reason I spun off on that is because I was talking about speckled trout earlier, and the Tony Harding, the president of the club, we were talking about that. He was saying something about people on the internet on Tidal Fish and posting up all these speckled trout reports and practically giving GPS coordinates, I guess, of where they were catching. And I know I've used this expression before on the show, but I always say, if I'm ever going to rob a bank, I'm only going to do it with a good speckled trout fisherman, because they know how to keep their mouth shut. So, but yeah, that's what kind of got me off topic there. But I was thinking about that because everybody wanted to know where the speckled trout bite was. And Tony wasn't giving up any information, but he did mention some people on the internet, on chat rooms, forums, I should say, throwing out all these locations where they have been catching the trout. So, and we all know if you want to keep your fishing spots a secret, then don't spread the word. But Don't pull up on your boat or your kayak and see a bunch of people out there and get mad after you go out there and put a flag on the Google Maps thing and say this is a place to go catch whatever species may be. So anyway, well, that's about all I got for fishing reports and local area topics. Anybody else call in, Chris, before I move? We got anybody to say hello to, or are we still at the same number?
Rob is it, and we've got the usual suspects. Tommy V just rolled in. Kayak Kevin is here.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Yeah, I noticed the chat room. We've had a few more people logging in, so welcome, everyone. Thank you for showing up tonight. As we always say, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys. You guys keep us going, so we appreciate it. And while I'm talking about that, don't forget for the rest of the week, you got Mark Wheeler tomorrow night for the Mid-Atlantic show. Thursday night, Chip Gibson. And Monday brings it all back around to Redfish Chuck, who will be a bartender. Steve Chapman, help me out there in the chat room. It's this weekend, is it not? Saturday the 23rd? Saturday the 23rd? Yeah. So they have this bartender's ball going on down here, a fundraiser at the Fish on Fire restaurant. And then I saw the flyer today that Redfish Chuck will be a bartender at this event. So I hope somebody will be there monitoring Redfish Chuck and make sure that the liquor is going in the glasses of the people and not himself. I'm just joking. But anyway, so
I found it. I'll put up the link for it.
Yeah, they're going to have the Swamp Brothers there at this event. So anybody who's tuning in the Orlando area or somewhere around close enough that you might want to, Chris is going to put the link up, but I saw it tonight. So you can go get Redfish Chuck to pour you a couple drinks or something. And
Swamp Brothers, Robbie and Kaisley.
Yeah.
Tips and proceeds of handmade vodka drinks go cash wagon. Castaway.
This is the part of the show where,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the part of the show where we read to everyone.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Carry on.
I'm just joking. Gosh, lighten up.
Just, hey, you know about that lighten up.
I know. Anyway, so yeah, so if you're in the area down here, Orlando, go check that out. And like I said, get you a drink from Chuck. So who's not here tonight, so I'll say whatever. Hopefully he won't podcast the show. All right. So tonight we're going to talk about safety. It's getting busy out there. So for us as kayakers, it's never can be talked about enough. You can never be too safe, no matter what you're doing. I mean, obviously on the water, you're already throwing a lot of factors. But being in a kayak, you kind of have increased your chances or odds out there. And then the fact that now it's boating season is right going, jet skis and all that going on out there on the water, so you got to keep your head on a swivel most of the time. So I just thought maybe we could cover a little bit of the top safety things and just kind of make sure everybody's aware. And if there's any questions or anything anybody has to add to their topic, please chime in on the chat room or give the show a call. We'd love to hear from you. But kind of went hand in hand the other night when we were at that fly fishing club, because there was a gentleman there from the Coast Guard, and they were going back and forth on all kinds of different things. And we were talking about all the things that you should or the Coast Guard things you should have on your boat, and then the things that are, you know, extras that you're not required to have, but sure does make a lot of sense sometimes to have them on the boat when you get out there in the water. So one of the first things we'll start with, though, would be a float plan. I know everybody's heard of it before, but if not, we'll just run through a float plan real quick, at least a basic one. And obviously the first thing is to always let somebody know where you're going, where you're launching from, what time approximately you think you're going to be back, and where you're coming back at. Usually as kayakers, we always launch and come back at the same spot, but to make sure you let somebody know. And if it's past the time or getting close to the time that you decide to come back, that you call, let somebody know, hey, I'm going to stay out here for another hour or two or 10 minutes, whatever the case may be, because you don't need that person at home getting nervous and start making 911 phone calls and call the Coast Guard. Because if you just didn't take the time to tell them, the Coast Guard and them, will send you a nice little bill for bothering them and having them come out to find you who didn't need to be found. So make sure you pay attention to that. What else we got in the flip plan here? Time and money. Call somebody. Yep. Oh, another good thing to have, too, is it's not really with your float plan, but to have in your kayak something that this goes with the Coast Guard thing, is the Coast Guard now gives out little stickers that you can put in your kayak, and it says, if found, and then you have your name and number, whatever information you choose to put on there. So it kind of holds for a couple things. One is if the boat's stolen. Two, if you happen to get separated from your kayak. We just had an incident. Where was that, in the Outer Banks, Chris? Where that kayak washed on shore? Chris, yes. Are you there?
Yes, I am here. That is correct. Okay. Where they sent out all-out launch and looking.
Yeah, so a father and son went out, and they couldn't paddle against the current. They couldn't get in. So they literally jumped out of the kayak and left it and swam to shore. And this kayak appeared with nobody in it, and then so what do? They launched the Coast Guard, and everybody in the world went out looking for them, and they were back, but they didn't tell anybody. And there was no distinguishing marks or anything in the kayak to let anybody know who it belonged to, so they were out looking for somebody or more than one person floating in sea, and these people were already back on shore safely, so it makes a lot of sense to have something like that in your kayak. You don't necessarily have to go get the Coast Guard sticker. You can use a Sharpie or some way of making these marks in your kayak. One thing, though, if I was you, I would probably do is put it kind of in a conspicuous, inconspicuous spot, if that makes any sense. Inside a hatch, somewhere you could see it if you open the hatch, but not where somebody could cross it out or get rid of it. That's the only thing about the sticker to me, is unless you put it to where somebody can't really get to it. But then again, the Coast Guard or whoever is not going to go over the whole boat with a fine-tooth comb. So, like I said, put it inside a hatch or under a lid. So, I mean, if you put it right out in the open, somebody can just peel the sticker off if your boat happens to get stolen. So that's been going on a lot lately, too. So try to deviate anybody from taking your boat, or at least if they find your boat, you can say, I know exactly it's mine because I have a sticker inside the hatch, and then you open the hatch and there's your sticker with your name on it. Make it a lot easier to get it back, so that's a good thing. The light, we always talk about white lights here and the things you're supposed to have by the Coast Guard. We'll go over real quickly is obviously your PFD. I'm a real stickler for it, Chris and I. You know, the best place for your PFD, everybody knows, is on your body at all times. You don't have to wear it. You're supposed to just have it on the boat, but there's no reason to not wear it, and especially with the kayaks that are out there nowadays. The PFDs that are out there now, there's so many new and better ones on the market. They're a lot lighter. They're not as hot and heavy as they used to be, so there's really no sense to not wear it. You fall out of the kayak and hit your head or something happens, you and the kayak get quickly separated. You probably won't have time to get to that PFD that you left in the back behind your tackle box, underneath your cooler and your drinks and whatever else may be. So wearing your PFD is a good thing. I don't see any reason not to. A sound-making device, a P-less whistle. What's a P-less whistle, Chris?
Do you honestly want me to answer that right now?
No.
P-less.
No, obviously.
It's one that
somebody
pull for salt water. Oh, okay. Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. It's an inside joke there. Somebody asked the other night what was a P-less whistle. So hopefully everybody knows what a P-less whistle is, but it's a whistle that doesn't have the little ball inside or the P. Because that'll get rusted inside and stick, and then it won't work. So that's why you have a...
Carry on.
Right.
Not saying anything. Nothing.
All right. So anyway, so make sure you have a sound-making device, P-less whistle, and then the old white light. I always get people ask me all the time, does it have to be a 360-degree light? Does it have to be a whatever? There's no reason not to have the 360-degree white light. A flashlight would work. any type of white light would work, a lantern, whatever it may be. Everybody here is familiar with Yak Attack and all the great lights that Luther puts out. So,
but again,
that's the preferred thing.
There is a little bit of a controversy. The gentleman from the Coast Guard also said, technically speaking, at night, we should have flares with us.
Now, once you go 1 mile off the coast, I thought he said, is when you have to have a flares. Maybe. I believe that's what it is. But I don't know about the flare thing. We can look it up. So, but, yeah, definitely the white light. Do not have red and green lights on your kayak. I've seen people put those on the boat before. Red and white light means that a boat would have to give way to you. If you have, that means you're a motorized vessel and you're underway. A white light means you're at anchor. So if a power boat's coming towards you, they have to give way to an anchored boat. If you have the red light, then you go right. And if they see the green light, they go left, kind of thing. So don't have red and green lights on your boat. Rob, you still there? Is he on mute? Did he mute?
No, he's not on mute.
He might have muted.
Oh, we just lost him.
Oh.
Rob, just dropped.
Answered my own question.
I
was going to see if Rob had anything.
Tommy V also pointed out that the P-less whistle works wet.
It will work wet, but over time, if it's it could rust and stick, or the pee itself could get stuck in there and not work. So that's why they recommend to you not use
Rob
a pee.
Rob is back. Rob is back.
Yes.
There you go.
I'm back. Sorry, I went to unmute myself and I hung up.
That's all right. We can take a hint, Rob. If you don't want to hang out, just say goodbye. You can hang up.
No, that's cool. No, I saw your thing, you know, your announcement to me on Facebook, and, you know, safety is always a big thing with me.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that you know, I've been in a precarious situation before. I've never dumped my kayak yet. It's just a matter of time. But one of my buddies has, and we were in a pretty bad spot, and everybody knows the story and everything, but things happen so fast, so that's why I always wear my PFD. You know, I have a nice little Stolquist three getaway, and it just you know, it's comfortable. I don't even know if I have it on. You know, it's like second nature. If I'm putting on when I'm getting my kayak, it's kind of like, you know, when you wear a seatbelt, it's just like second nature to put the thing on. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
things
can
happen so fast that, you know, it's always good to be prepared for it. So my whistle is attached right there to my PFD, and I'm good.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, I know I came down here to Florida last year, and I noticed a lot of people don't wear them, and I know everybody says, oh, it's hot and all that. But you're right. After you wear them for a while, Chris and I, we wear Astral Buoyancy PFDs, and they're so light. And I mean, I don't even know I have it on. And plus, the PFDs now, they're made in such a way that you can keep a lot of the little things in them or on them that you would need instead of having to keep it in your crate and look for it or have it all over the bottom of the boat and everything. So, you know, it's like a fly fishing vest almost. You can, little pockets and places to hang things from, your nippers or whatever it may be. So it kind of keeps everything right there on you. If you choose to, you're not required to, but to have a VHF radio, something that I keep on to keep with me, keep it in your PFD. Again, if you get separated from your kayak, you probably won't have time or a chance to go back and get the VHF radio, but you can definitely, if it's on you, then you can call for help. Cell phones don't work very well when they get wet, so... It's a good thing. I mean, if you got a cell phone, you got a dry bag, by all means, bring it, because you can make that phone call to tell somebody that you're fishing later, or so you can make a phone call. But once it gets wet, it doesn't do any good. But a good waterproof VHF radio, you can make the important phone call. I mean, the important radio calls if you need to the Coast Guard. So. You carry radios down there, Rob? You guys?
I've actually been shopping for some nice little two-way radios. What do you recommend?
I have a Uniden, not the floating one. I can't think of the model right now. And I've had a couple of friends that I know have the ICOM floating ones. They work really well. I mean, there's another bonus again if it does, if it's not attached to you but it falls over, it's not going to the bottom. Whereas mine, if it's it's nothing but a big piece of lead. Once it hits the water, it goes straight down. So so definitely something that's submersible, something that can get wet. And then, like I said, if you have the money, I would definitely spring for a floating one. And then you can get them now with the, and there are locators on them, like an EPIRB. So
anything
you can do to help. Yeah, and they even have them, I believe, like that spot. You can get one of those spot locators on you. I don't know if Kayak Kevin, he's in there, if he still has his spot locator or not. But
Kayak Kevin is in the chat room.
Yeah, I see him, but he thought maybe that would spark him to chime in about the spot. But, something like that would work really well, too, the spot locator.
Mr. Christus said, I love my Standard Horizon 751. Just got a second one for my son.
There you go, Rob. Check out the Standard Horizon. Does that float?
Somebody also asked, how about a flare gun, either for helping in an emergency or as a last resort against a drunk boater?
You do what you got to do there. I can't. Nobody's going to could do it. But, yeah, that was the topic the other night at the Fly Club. And it is a rule, and I'm sorry to say that I didn't do my homework on that one. But after you go so many miles, I think it's one, it may be two, offshore or out of sight, so to speak. So you're supposed to have the flares with you. I've never been asked to show flares, but I don't go straight off the beach miles at nighttime either. So I don't know. I have been asked for the white lights and even had a police officer tell me that I should have a second one in case the one I have goes bad. But there's a good point. Extra batteries don't hurt. It might look nice and work really well when you leave the dock, but several hours of fishing at night or whatever the case may be, that white light might not be so bright after a while. So to have some spare batteries for your light is not a bad thing.
Mr. Wren put up HX751S is a great radio. It's submersible, floats, and has an emergency flashing beacon.
Right, that's
also
what I was,
just for those that are not reading the chat room, Mr. Chris wrote a review on the Standard Horizon one. You can find that at jackfish.net/standard/horizon/HX751/review.
Wow, you read all that.
I sure did. I can read. English is my second language. But I can read.
Yeah, some people are chiming in with other things, an emergency blanket too. Yeah, that was another thing I was going to cover is a basic safety first aid kit. It's not a bad thing to have. That blanket, the little aluminum foil looking shiny blankets. Something happens at nighttime, you get wet, need to warm up, dry clothes in the cold. I know it's not cold now, but we always take a dry bag out there with a change of clothes in it. And even in the summertime, at nighttime, you get wet, it can be a little chillier out there. So make sure I'm reading that.
I feel offended now.
There we go again for the podcast listeners. The chat room's going crazy. So.
Also, Band-Aids. You know, lots of times, like Walgreens and stuff, they have those little itty-bitty kits you can slide into your tackle box. They're a good thing to have on hand, particularly with a little bit of antibacterial cream or something on it. You know, for those people that fish with them treble hooks.
That's right. Duct tape cures all.
I
won't tell any... I won't smell any names here, but I knew somebody who actually kept some sutures and bolt cutters in his kayak because he had enough incidences, a sewing kit. Yep. I knew somebody. I'm not, like I said, going to spit out anybody's name, but I had a small pair of bolt cutters and some sutures with some string or whatever the case may be, I guess, so he could stitch himself back up because he had enough incidences. Super glue works good, too. Yes, it does.
I now always have super glue in my purse.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, she does. Now everybody's chiming in the chat room. Hammer and nails. All right, Tommy V. Do you carry any of that stuff with you too, Rob? Do you have like a little first aid kit, safety?
Yeah, I carry an adventure medical kit. It's like a backpacking. I mean, you can practically do field operations with that thing. It's got everything that you can possibly imagine in it, and it weighs like, 9 ounces. So it's actually really cool. I've had to bust into it a couple of times, but always make sure to replenish your stocks if you use any of it.
Yeah,
so,
definitely, yeah.
It comes in handy, and it doesn't weigh anything. It doesn't take any room in the box. I'm trying to think. I was looking at those Uniden two-way radios there, and Rux Pilot had some of those when he was down here. And we went fishing, and he gave me one. He's like, I don't like yelling,
mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay. And that it was my first time using it, and it was actually pretty decent. It did have, some sort of a beacon light on it, and it did float and had, 35-mile range or something like that. I don't know too
so
much.
So it's not a VHF radio, though? Could you get the Coast Guard channel and all, or was this two-way radios?
It's just two-way radios.
Right, so you wouldn't be able to call for help with it necessarily, though. You could just tell your Parker.
I'm really not sure, but it was a pretty cool thing to have.
Even that. I mean, the chances of both of you having a bad time or something happening.
Yeah.
So if you could at least call the other person you're fishing with, if he's not around you and doesn't see whatever happens to you, then you could call them and at least get somebody to help you out. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's no reason. Yeah, and then that goes back to the other thing. When you go at nighttime, don't recommend going by yourself at night.
It's definitely not.
I'm not sure if you mentioned that earlier, but Chuck actually private messaged me. It's also a good idea if by any chance while you're out you change your mind or you change your plan on where you're planning on fishing, be sure you let your emergency person know that you're changing your original plan. No plan is good if nobody knows where you're at if something happens, and he's correct on that.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't mention changing your plan. I meant if you planned on staying longer to make sure that you called somebody and let them know, because, like I said earlier, you don't want the Coast Guard showing up and finding you out there catching fish and didn't have to take the 5 minutes to call home or whoever it is you leave your float plan with and let them know that you were going to be late. That wouldn't be very smart. Somebody says they bring loaf of bread and assorted deli meat. Oh, it's Tommy Vanderhyde. Gotcha. Soggy bread. Yeah, I'll make sure you make me a sandwich next time we're on the water, Tom.
With a group of bricks, I'm songbook. That is so not true. Group or no group, Tommy always sings.
Yeah, that's right.
He gets bored, the corkering on, he's singing. Corkering.
Yeah, somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he sings along. Talking about some kayak repair stuff, too, is not a bad idea. Duct tape, things like that, glue. What was that? That kids, the Catching for Kids tournament we mentioned earlier. We had somebody out there with us who got a hole in the bottom of his kayak. And he was taking on water, and I whittled down a popping cork, shoved the popping cork in the hole, and he fished the rest of the day, and no more water came in. I don't know if every hole is going to be fixed. Actually, what happened was he had just gotten moved to Virginia Beach, a Navy move, and they moved his kayak, and they must have poked a hole in the bottom of it, because, he literally, picked it up the day before from the movers, and it was like, it looked like a nail. I mean, it was about the size of a nail. You know, they put all their stuff in those big wooden boxes, and so there must have been a nail or something they leaned the kayak up against, and there was a hole straight in the bottom. And it was in a Malibu.
Wow.
And, yeah, he had a hole, and we were out there fishing, and he was like, all of a sudden he was gone. He was on a little island. We're like, what the heck's he doing over there? He's over there just dumping water out of his kayak. He's like, oh, I'm going back in, guys. I was like, no, you're not. We're fishing, dude. So we tried to figure out how to fix it. And like I said, I took the knife out and took a popping cork and kind of made a little spike with the cork and jammed it in the hole. And he fished the rest of the day and hardly got any water through there. So not that, like I said, a cork's always going to fix everything. But having something on the kayak that can at least patch it good enough to get you back in, maybe not stay out there and keep fishing, it's probably not the smartest thing, but he wasn't alone, and we stayed close to close enough to shore that we could have got him in. But yeah, so being able to fix the kayak's probably not a bad thing. Spare paddle. I'm not going to say that out loud on the radio, Tom Vanderhyde. Everybody who's reading it can read it, but we're going to stay away from Tommy V's last comment.
Why? What do you write? What am I missing?
You have to read it. All right, now they're getting out of hand.
Wow.
Anybody else have any useful safety?
Vaseline. Oh, God. Okay, sorry.
All right. That's for a different topic, you guys. You can start your own radio show if you want to talk about that.
Okay.
I don't need Chip getting on me. All right, Chris, where's your cards? Where's your cards, Chris?
I'm working on it.
Anyway. Well, that's really all I can think of. I mean, I'm sure there's a million other things we could talk about with safety, but, I mean, definitely having a float plan, definitely having yourself squared away, your kayak squared away, yourself dressed properly. I mean, we could go into all of that too, but you know, as far as the weather and sunscreen and all that, but I was really more talking about the safety things. If something bad happens out there, or, you know, things do go bad, like Rob said earlier, it doesn't take but a second, you know, whether it's your fault or somebody else's, it can turn bad real quick. And if you're not if you're not prepared for it, another thing I always preach to people is learning how to self-rescue, how to right your kayak and how to get back in it. Because on the water, when it happens, is not the time to learn. So make sure that you've taken the time to learn how to get yourself back in your kayak. And also, don't just do it with a pair of shorts and a t-shirt on with no gear in the boat, because that's not how you're going to fish. Take your kayak out there with just like you would if you were going to fish it. The dynamics change a lot when you have a loaded down crate in the back with rods and reels on, PFD on, and as the weather gets cooler, and if you wear some type of dry suit or waders, learn how to do it with those clothes on. It definitely changes everything when you're out there. You know, like I said, doing it in mom's pool in the backyard is not the same as doing it out in the moving water, wind, and usually your adrenaline's already pumping. You just flipped out of the kayak you weren't planning on doing, so when you're doing it in a controlled environment, it makes it a little different when it happens quick like that. It needs to be second nature. Rob, you got anything you'd like to add? Anything that I might have missed? Or anything
no,
that you guys
like
do down in Florida?
Sounds like you covered it, man. Except for, you know, the sun will eat you up, man. So make sure wear your long pants and your long sleeves and your buffs and your hats and the whole nine yards, man, because the sun will eat you up.
And the thing about sunscreen, reapply, reapply, and reapply. Wear your buff, long sleeve, you know, again, we're not getting any younger, and the sun is just going to make us older by the minute.
And you don't need those other things that go along with that sun. I don't want to see any of you guys stop chiming in here because you had to go have a bunch of bad spots cut out of your skin.
Of course, you know, if you're applying sunscreen for other people,
I knew you were
specific what they want you to spray. They're kidding. That's a whole other story. Maybe we'll tell next week.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
I love you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here then. We're going to let you guys go to your rest of your Tuesday night, evening fun, wherever that may be. Where's that picture? All right, we'll tell the story real quick, and then we'll let you go because there was a picture. So Chris and I were fishing, and I forgot my hat in the bed and breakfast, so I just had a visor with me. So I bent down, and I covered my eyes, and I asked her to spray my head with sunscreen. For those of you who don't know me, I'm kind of thin on the hair up top on my head. So she proceeded to spray the bald spot on the back, but she didn't spray anywhere near my forehead or my, what are those things called? Receding hairline area.
Knee marks?
Knee marks. We're not supposed to say that. Knee marks. But anyway, I didn't know that. I just felt her spray. So we fished. We were fly fishing in the river. Got done, went back to the bed and breakfast to get a shower and go out to dinner to meet Tom Vanderheiden and some other friends of ours for dinner. And I walked in the room, took off my hat, and I had a nice little horseshoe burnt red where she didn't spray my forehead. She just sprayed the back spot, you know, my little bald spot in the back of my head, which wasn't burnt, Rob. That was perfectly fine. I had no problem on the back of my head, but my forehead looked like a big red horseshoe. I'm like, well, I guess I'm wearing a hat. Guess I'm wearing a hat to dinner tonight because I wasn't going to walk into the restaurant with this big U-shaped burnt skull. So she's like,
we gave you a proper haircut at the Boondoggle, dude.
Yeah, thanks. But the funny part was, is I looked at her because she had already went somewhere, and I said, Chris, come here. She's like, what? She looked at my forehead and she made a face. I said, remember I covered my eyes because I didn't want the sunscreen, you know, sprayed in my eyes. She's like, I wondered why you covered your eyes when you wanted me to spray your top of your head. Because I wanted my whole head sprayed. So, yeah, that made for a comfortable hat wearing the rest of the weekend, too, every time you put the hat on that nice burnt
top. Everybody
wants
to see that picture. Ask Tommy V. I'm sure somebody took a picture of what your head looked like.
You took a picture out in front of the restaurant when we were waiting to go in. Don't act like you didn't.
Should I put it on Facebook? Ooh, I'm checking out the book right now.
All right, everybody. Well, you check your Facebook later. Let's get these great people on their way. So, like I said, always thank you guys for tuning in. It's always a pleasure, and you guys keep it fun. This is the reason we do it. I'd like to thank some of our sponsors, of course, Cut Native Kayaks. I mentioned earlier Astral Buoyancy and all their PFDs, great stuff. If you guys aren't familiar, you're looking for a new PFD, life jacket, whatever you call it where you're from, go check them out. They're the lightest ones on the market by far. They are, and they breathe very well, so if you're looking for a new PFD, go check out Astral Buoyancy. Of course, MarshWorks, if you guys are out there, and I know this is probably a shameless kind of plug, but MarshWorks, everybody knows I've been with for a while now. We're having our problems, let's just say that much. Well, we've got some new owners, and we got some new blood in the company, and things are really moving around. So if you guys have been checking out MarshWorks or wanted to, if you had a little slow time there with us, I apologize, but the company has made a big turn for the better, and things are really starting to roll again over at MarshWorks, so I'm happy to be involved with them again. So it looks like things are going to be doing well again down in Mississippi for us. So other than that, don't forget, mark your calendars, TKA event, end of September, first week in October. What do we have going on, Chris? The Boondoggle.
I hit the
October
button.
October 5th, 38.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
All right, we got a Rob Choi. You know what, Rob? And I know I told everybody we're going to go, and we are going to go, but it's funny, last week's show, I was talking about the tagging program and all that, and you and Kevin were in there, and nobody said anything about this event last week on the show. But this Thursday, you're there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Rob? Say yes. I know, I thought it was Thursday night. Kevin, Kayak Kevin, and Rob Choi are going to be at the Appomattox River Company location in Hampton, and they will be talking about the citation program, tagging program. And Rob says, anything else you want to talk ab? I don't know what talk ab is, but you guys can talk abs with Rob, because apparently he's been working out, so he wants to talk about his abs. But anyway, yeah, Kaya, Kevin, and Rob Choi.
It's both on Thursday, Kevin on Friday, and Rob Choi on Saturday. About,
Well, there you go. People were asking last week, we were talking about the tagging program and the citation program and all that. So now you can go get all the info. Kevin will have some, I know he's got some cool stories about recaptures and all, so that'll be a lot of fun. So you guys go check that out. You can find all the information on that on the Appomattox River Company's website, paddleva.com, or on their Facebook page. I was joking, Rob. I knew you meant about and not about your abs. All right, Chris. Well, let's let these people go. Hit some other buttons, and good night, everyone. Thank you again for tuning in.
Safety, safety, safety. Remember, take your children fishing. They're our next generation anglers. Tight lines wherever you're fishing. Good night.
Thanks again, Rob. Thanks, Rob.
He's gone.